Well, welcome to Church Journey. How are we doing? Some of y'all aren't sure if you're allowed to laugh in church. You're allowed to laugh. It's okay. As a matter of fact, we encourage it. My name's Dustin Agard. I get to serve here as the family pastor. And if this is your first time with us, just want to welcome you. Honored to be able to have you. Want to go ahead and welcome everybody joining us online as well as our Lake County campus. Super excited to have you as we dive into week three of this series, Real Christmas Classics. And today we're talking about the movie Elf. Just by show of hands, how many have you seen the movie Elf? A lot of you. Don't judge the people that didn't raise their hand. It's okay. As a matter of fact, this was voted Floridian's number one favorite movie by Florida. So you're in good company, or we're all going down with the ship together. Either way, I don't know. But I personally like this movie. But before we dive in, I want to just remind you of a couple things regarding this series. First thing is this is not a critique of the movie. I'm not a movie critic. This is not what we're doing. That's not what the series is about. Number two, this is also not an endorsement of any language, lifestyles, or views or of everything and anyone presented in the movie. And then number three, this is not a lightweight or a throwaway series. As a matter of fact, we believe each movie has some timeless biblical truths that we are unpacking to see if God can continue to form us more and more into his image. And some of y'all are thinking, you're going to do that through Elf? Yes, we are. So I'm excited. If you have not seen the movie Elf, it's okay. The main character is played by Will Ferrell. That was the little baby Buddy. He grows up. Will Ferrell is adopted, and as you just saw, and he grows up by a group of elves. Papa Elf adopts him, and one of the main themes to kind of understand at the very beginning of the movie is they understand that Santa's sleigh runs on Christmas spirit. However, Christmas spirit is declining. More and more people are not believing in Santa, and so Papa Elf builds a turbo engine for Santa's sleigh just in case they end up not running, not having enough Christmas spirit. And so that takes place at the beginning, but then you saw the three codes for the elves. And what we're going to do is we're going to unpack those as well, but instead of just me saying them, just like the entire class said them, we're going to say them all at the same time together. You ready? All right, here we go. Three codes of an elf. Number one, treat every day like Christmas. Oh man, y'all are good. All right. Number two, there's room for everyone on the nice list. And number three, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And so what we understand about Buddy the Elf is he has this overwhelming, infectious sense of just joy. It's pure childlike, infectious joy that everybody, when they first meet him, they just are very clear that something is different about Buddy. And what's different is he's treating every single day like Christmas. There is no off day for Buddy in this idea of joy. And I feel like Buddy really kind of takes on these two verses at the same time. The first one is Psalm 118, 24. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Now, when you have somebody that's constantly full of joy, it kind of doesn't make sense to a lot of people around them. And so everywhere Buddy went, there was a group of people that just kind of looked at him a little bit different or didn't understand where his joy came from, or maybe he's just faking it. And we kind of get that sometimes when somebody is living such a great life that maybe they're just faking it. Or that person can't always be that happy. They must be faking it. But what the movie unveils is Buddy's not faking anything. At the core of him is this sense of pure joy. And it's the same joy that Christ offers each and every single one of us. But like I mentioned, not everybody understands where this joy is, and not everybody kind of likes Buddy because of the joy. And that includes his own boss.
Wow! What's this?
This is the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
It's time for the announcement.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, hi. Santa's coming.
Let me just tell you, what I was tempted to do is just show the entire movie to y'all. I didn't know how to cut clips out of this movie. But here's the thing, as you can see, if you've never seen this movie, he can't stop smiling. Smiling is his favorite, and to people that don't understand that joy, it doesn't make sense. Just like it doesn't make sense for that person that's going through the darkest time of their life, they just lost their job, they're struggling with cancer, they just went through a divorce, and yet they have a sense of joy that Christ put there, and everybody around them says, that doesn't make sense that you're still joyful. You see, smiling is Christian's favorite. That is what Christ puts in us. There's a sense of joy that doesn't go away because we have a bad day. It's just there. And there's an outside world looking in that says, that just doesn't make sense. Don't make smiling your favorite. Make work your favorite. Make this your favorite. Make something else. And then all of a sudden, over time, we start to realize that what they ended up rejecting at first, they longed for in the long run. But it starts with all of us having this sense of joy. When I think of this idea of joy, I think of two of my friends, Christian and Dino. If you don't know Christian and Dino, they're on staff here, and here they are. I mean, this just embodies them. Christian is our student pastor for Journey students here, and Dino is our Journey Kids director. And every single time, I'm telling you, they have this Buddy the Elf-like quality. Every time I'm around them, they just have joy. And it's not just me. I've never seen either one of them have a bad day. They're constantly joyful. And I'm telling you, they're not joyful because everything in their life is going great. They're joyful because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. They're joyful because John 15:5 says that when you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. And that's where their joy comes from. Their joy comes from abiding in Christ. They don't wake up every day saying, I'm gonna try to be joyful today. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, I'm gonna try to draw close to Christ. And in doing that, he makes us joyful. That's what fruit is all about. That's why it is a come closer, not a work harder faith. And when we think about Buddy the Elf, here he was adopted. There's no mom. In the picture, his own father rejects him. He doesn't fit in anywhere. He doesn't fit in the North Pole. He definitely doesn't fit in New York City. And on top of that, his entire life, he has to wear tights. Buddy doesn't have everything going in his life perfectly. And this is what we need to understand. Joy is a choice. It's not a feeling. And when we decide to choose joy, that surpasses all the circumstances in our day-to-day life. I love what Heinrich Heine said. He's a 19th century German philosopher. He said this. He said, "Show me your redeemed life, and I may be inclined to believe in your Redeemer." Let me say that again. Show me your redeemed life, and I may be inclined to believe in your Redeemer. You see, this is what we need to understand. Your joy points to a joy maker. Your joy points to a joy maker. God has given you that joy. And what this guy is saying, he's saying, listen, if I saw more joy in people, I'd understand there's a joy maker. And there's so many times that I'll meet somebody and they'll tell me they're a Christian. And my thought, I don't say it all the time or rarely, but my thought is, if you're a Christian, you need to let your face know. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ever meet some of those people? It's like, you carry no joy every day. That's a Christian face? Like, there is no joy. You need to share the gospel with your face. That's what you know what I'm saying? Some of us need to share the gospel with our face because Christ has redeemed us, and that's why we call it good news. Amen? Amen. Code number two, there's room for everyone on the nice list. You see, Buddy discovers that he has a father. And in this process, he has kind of a startling revelation about him.
Can't wait to see my dad. We're gonna go ice skating and eat sugar plums.
Yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, Buddy, your father, well, he's on the naughty list.
No!
taking the books back?
See, I see what you're trying to do here. You're trying to make me feel bad, when in actuality, you're the one that missed the payments.
But the children love the books.
I know that. You know, I'm the one that ran the focus groups, but I like hearing that.
Listen, some people, they just lose sight of what's important in life. That doesn't mean they can't find their way again, huh? Maybe all they need is just a little Christmas spirit.
Yeah! Well, I'm good at that.
I know you are.
You see, Buddy is willing to do whatever it takes to help his dad get on the nice list. And that's the whole point of this here, is there's room for everyone on the nice list. And I love what Santa said. I never thought that I would actually say that in a sermon before, but I love what Santa said when he said this. He said, some people just lose sight of what's important in life. That doesn't mean they can't find their way again. Maybe all they need is just a little Holy Spirit. Maybe he didn't say that, I said that. Maybe they just need a little Holy Spirit. That is a Santa mic drop. And I love this because it's a very healthy view of those that may not be on the nice list. It's not that they're horrible people. It's not that people that aren't close to God or don't know God or this or that. It's just some people sometimes lose sight of what's important. And maybe we just need some people to carry the Spirit of Christ and introduce that to them. And that's exactly what Santa was saying. You see, how we view people that are on the naughty list matters. That's why I love our church saying, everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Christ, all things are possible. How we view broken people, how we tell people that everyone is invited, do we just say it on the t-shirt, or do we say it when somebody sits in our row? Do we say it in the atrium? Do we say it in our next door neighbors? How do we allow people that may not always be on the nice list, how do they know that they're invited to the table? This is close to the heart of Jesus, which is why in John 10:16, he said this. He said, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He goes on to say in Luke 5, he says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me, because I'm a sinner that needs to repent. By the grace of God, I'm allowed on that nice list. By the grace of God, I'm allowed into the book of life. But it's only because he has allowed me to be there. And how we view people that are not yet written in his book matters. How we talk about them, how we treat them, how we invite them into our lives and into our world matters. And that is near and dear to us as a church. That's why we have events like Jingle Jam. You may not be aware of this, but last Sunday night we had an event for the community and for you called Jingle Jam. And it's really what it was. It's a party big enough for the whole family. We are the church. We're not in the event planning business. We are in the life-changing kingdom building business. But the reason we put events on like that is so that we can reach a community and let them know that everybody is welcome. To let them know that there is room for you on the nice list, that there is room for you at our table. This is not an us for no more holy huddle where we're just gonna gather as a church and kind of make outsiders feel like outsiders. No, we are called to go. That's what Matthew 28 is all about. And so what we wanna do is we wanna go and we wanna create opportunities for us to be able to meet and connect with people that maybe we would never meet and connect without these type of events. And so that is the reason we do Jingle Jam. And one of the other things that's very timely this time of year is our Christmas Eve services. We know that Easter and Christmas, your neighbors and your coworkers will say yes to an invite at this time of year more so than any other time. And so we want to encourage you, this is that same opportunity, this is that same strategy for us to be able to go across the street. For us, that friend that we've been praying for months or years, this is a great opportunity to say, hey, listen, what service would you like to go to? What campus? And then afterwards, let me buy you dinner. Or let's go grab coffee. And so we want to encourage you, we have all kinds of invite cards in the lobby. Grab an invite card, pray over it, pray for it, and see who God might be leading you to invite this Christmas Eve. Which takes us to the third code, which is this. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Are you enjoying the view?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Oh, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
No, there isn't. Wait. I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
Yes, there is!
No, it's not.
We sing all the time!
No, it's not!
Especially when we make toys! See?
So that is Jovi, who is one of these characters that just doesn't quite understand Buddy's joy, like we talked about earlier, and come to find out, she ends up seeing that as the most endearing part of him, and they end up dating, and as the movie progresses, there's a relationship now with Buddy and his dad, and Buddy's just not fitting into the family, and the dad, Walter, is this high executive. It's all about work, and Buddy comes in one scene and really ruins a massive, massive project, and Walter's already been told that he's one poor project away from getting fired. And the stress builds up around the families and around the holidays, and Walter, the dad, just kind of goes off. Like so many of us have experienced, he goes off on Buddy and says, hey, get out of my life, I don't want you, never wanted you, and kicks him out of his family, kicks him out of his life. It didn't take Walter long to realize that the only sense of joy he had in his life, he just kicked out. And so shortly after, he ends up quitting his job in a very emphatic way and goes and makes things right with Buddy. And now they have this great relationship. And then Walter ends up seeing the real Santa Claus. And the next kind of several minutes kind of set up where we're going to land with this final point.
Hey, Michael, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. But Buddy, he's in the park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Michael!
Mom!
Michael!
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
You know, you pour some wine.
Merry Christmas.
Stop messing around and get in!
Santa, why are they chasing us?
I put them on the naughty list and they never forgave me.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Buddy! We need power! We're gonna crash!
He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
He knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So be good for goodness sake.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
I'm getting too old for this job.
Now!
The engine's gone!
We're toast!
Well, still no sign of Santa. But some spontaneous Christmas caroling has broken out right here in front of Central Park. Let's have a listen in.
When you're sleeping, he knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Hey! Watch out!
You better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming.
Just a little more!
When you're awake, he knows it.
Wait, you're not singing.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. You're just moving your lips.
Michael, please, what's the big deal?
Dad?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
So, Journey, let me ask you, has there ever been a time in your life where you've just been going through the motions? Where you just kind of singing a little bit under your breath. You're not fully surrendered. You're not fully one way or the other, and you're frustrated because you're not getting the results you want, but you're not fully surrendered, so God's not getting the results he wants. More than anything, it's the moment that we fully surrender to Christ that the miracles begin to take place in our life. I remember for me, I was in high school and I had somebody that I've known for several years. We're more classmates than friends, and this person invited me to participate in some illegal activity, we'll just say. And I said, nah, man, that's not my scene, thanks, so. And he kept pushing, and he said, why not, and all this. I said, well, I'm a Christian. And when I told him that, he just started laughing because he thought I was joking. Because he had watched me for a couple years. And you see, at that point in my life was not singing loud for all to see. My life for Christ was more of a whisper. It wasn't singing out. It wasn't obvious to those around me. And I remember being marked by this guy laughing at me because of my lack of faith, because I was more singing in a whisper instead of just belting it out loud. And the moment that you and I step in and fully surrender is the moment that Christ says, okay, watch what I'm about to do in your life. You see, a call to Christ is a call to surrender. And it's not a call to surrender some things, it's a call to surrender everything. It's not a call to surrender one day, it is a call to surrender every day. And so let me ask you, where is it that you are just going through the motions and God is calling you just to surrender? To say no more going through the motions in your marriage. Just fully serve her. Just fully serve him. No more just going through the motions with your faith and just kind of coming every now and then, but completely dive in, not just Sundays, but every day at the feet of the cross. Where is it that you are just going through the motions and God is whispering to you, if only you would surrender? And listen, I don't care if you're 8 or 80. I believe every single one of us have an area in our life that the Lord is whispering, just give me that. if you would just trust me with that, watch what I can do. And so let me ask you, what is the that in your life that God is calling you to hand over to him? Not because he wants to take it from you, but because he has a blessing in store greater than you could ever imagine. And you see, that's what Luke 17, 33 is all about. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. If you let your life go, you'll save it. And it's interesting to look at this movie Elf, because Elf really is the gospel in reverse. Instead of God the Father sending his son to rescue us, Buddy the son goes on a mission to rescue his father. And I don't know what God's calling in your life, what he's whispering for you to let go of, but this is my prayer, that we would treat every day like Christmas, that you'd be full of joy, that we'd make it clear to those around us that there's always room for everyone on the nice list. And always remember that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Not with our lips, but with our heart. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, I'm convicted even just right now thinking of the time that I was in high school and I wasn't singing loud. I was more embarrassed. What are people gonna say if I do this or react this way? A lot like Walter when he's in this crowded street, he's nervous of singing, but it's in that moment that we fully surrender to you. It's in that moment that we see your greatest work in us. And the truth is, we have to let go, and the truth is, it's gonna be vulnerable. But God, really the wrestling match is, are we gonna trust ourselves or are we gonna trust you? And I pray for every single person that's in this room at this moment, every single person that's watching online, God, would they no longer trust in themselves, but from this point on, would we trust in you? And not with the majority of our life, but everything, including that one thing that we've been holding on to for years. God, we come before you right now and we give you every piece of our heart, every corner. We fully surrender. And Lord, we thank you for being a patient God all these years. Oh, how patient you are with us. How graceful and merciful you are. And it's in the moment that we're so fearful to be vulnerable that we realize that we never had anything to fear anyways, because you are a good, good Father. And would you bolster our faith and remind us of that again? In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray.